It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to a very special edition of Secrets of Staffing Success. We'll get to that in a moment about why it's a special edition. First, just want to remind you all the different places you can find this show. Of course, on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Spotify, on Google Play. Anywhere really that you find your favorite podcast, you'll be able to find this one. Of course, if you have an Apple device, you can always just find us by using the podcast app on your phone or on your iPad and just search for Secrets of Staffing Success. So why is today a special edition of Secrets of Staffing Success? Well, two reasons, really. One, we have one of those rare opportunities where our guest is actually sitting here with me, and that person is none other than Brad Smith, our own director of, what's your title? Director of SEO, social media, 8 million other things?
Director of SEO and social media is the official title, but I do a lot with data management, analytics, content marketing, you name it.
And the second reason why this is special edition is because we're opening up to you, our listeners. We asked for the past couple days for you to send us in your questions that we will be going through here today. And you guys came up with some really great stuff. So thank you to everybody who sent in a question. This might be one of those two-parters we might break it up into here because we got so much good stuff to cover. So without further ado, let's get into that, Brad. Let's start here. This is an interesting one that came from actually one of our clients that we were talking about the other day. In the past 6 months, our website traffic is up, but our applications to our job board are down. What should we be looking at to help increase our applications?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's one that we get a lot. And with record low unemployment rates right now, it's harder and harder to find talent. So we need to do everything that we can to get people that are coming to the website that are viewing our jobs to convert, right? And what we're finding is that we need to be more aggressive with our job titles. We need to be more aggressive with calls to action. We need to take a look at that candidate path through our website and make sure that people are converting. So a few things that I would look at right off the top is logging into Google Analytics. Okay. From there, we're going to be able to look at visitor flow on our site. We're going to see what's happening to a candidate once they get to our site. Are they making it from the homepage to a job seeker section on the site? Are they making it from the job seeker section over to our job board? Do we even have a job board? We want to look at whether or not they're looking at individual jobs, whether they're looking at a lot of different jobs. We want to look at whether or not they're making it over to the application. So log into analytics, look at that traffic flow. We're going to want to make sure that they're clicking on a job itself. Mm-hmm. So let's say people are coming to the website, they're making it from the homepage over to the job board. Okay. Once they look at an individual job, are they making it onto that next step? Are they making it onto the application? If they're not making it onto the application, that's a pretty telling sign that our job description stinks, right? So we need to look at what we can do to improve that job description. Now, let's say they're getting to our job board, but they're not even clicking on a job. They're not even looking at those job descriptions. Now, analytics will tell us that. And if that's the case, then we need to look at our job titles. Maybe we need to look at salary ranges. Do we even include a salary? So those are all the things that we need to take a look at. We need to make sure that they're viewing jobs, clicking on the jobs, reading the description, and then getting onto the application. Okay. Now, you might think that even just getting onto the application, boy, that's going to be successful, right? Yeah. They've clicked on apply. They're going to submit their resume, everything. And that's just the first part of it. And oftentimes what we see and where the biggest drop-off comes is that the application experience stinks. So you get to the application and it's a mile long.
Yeah.
You've got to fill out 15 steps to apply for a general warehouse position. Well, people aren't doing that. They're abandoning that application. You need a quick apply. Look at your application and try to determine what is really relevant. What do you really need? What does your recruiting team need in order to follow up with this candidate? Right. So they need their name. They need their email address. They need their contact information, some basic skills, and in many cases, a resume.
Right.
But beyond that, do you really need skill codes? Do you need assessments? Do you need a detailed history of everything? At that point in the application process, do you even need references? Right. You don't need all of those things right off the bat. So don't ask for them right. because all you're doing is getting drop off. And you're spending, in many cases, tens of thousands or in some cases even hundreds of thousands of dollars driving applicant traffic there. They're looking at your jobs. They're going to apply. And you've made the application process painful.
Yeah, it's something we talk about on the show a bunch of times is that candidate experience. And this goes hand in hand with that. You know, it's not just when they walk in the door, you know, how long they're in your office and how long the interview process is and the testing process. It starts on your website with how easy is it for me to find a job? How easy is it for me to apply to a job and get you the info that you need?
Yeah. What I'd recommend to everybody listening to this is go through the application process yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Get out your stopwatch, right?
Yep.
Look at how long it actually takes to complete that application. We had one client who had an application process with one of the ATS systems, very thorough application process, and they felt like they needed all this detail. Mm. But they were getting a ton of candidate drop-off. And we timed the application process. After the 18th minute, we stopped.
Oh,
we were about halfway through.
Ugh.
And you can imagine candidates at that point are stopping as well.
Yep.
And what's even worse is that if you look at your website traffic, the majority of your traffic is probably coming from a mobile device now.
Yep.
And most applications, especially ATS applications, aren't 100% mobile friendly.
Yep.
And you're asking for information. I just looked at an application today from one of our new clients. And really simple, short application, and it really just asked you to upload your resume, but it asked you to upload your resume on mobile. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know that many people that store their resume on their mobile device.
Right.
Now, you might have it on Dropbox or something else, mm-hmm. But most people don't, and
right.
there was no other option to apply. So if 50 to 60% of your candidate traffic is coming from mobile, and the only way they can apply to a job is to upload a resume, they're not going to do it.
Yeah.
They're leaving. You need one-click applies. You need to be able to easily apply with your LinkedIn connection or if you have an Indeed account that way. But again, I would look at that full candidate experience from the time they get to your site to the time that they apply and look for drop-off.
Yeah.
I would also look throughout the rest of your site at ways that you can get more people over to your jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I see a lot of clients who don't have search jobs in their main navigation.
Yep.
Why not?
Right.
That's your end goal.
Yeah. It's your service you're providing people.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, they bury it on a job seekers page.
Yeah.
What do job seekers really want? They want jobs. They want to get hired. Mm-hmm. They want to see what's available to them. Don't bury that. Get it in main navigation. Get people to it as quickly as possible. And then if you do have a job seeker section on your site, and most should, make it simple and easy to get from that page over to search jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure every candidate-facing piece of content has a call to action to search jobs. Get people over there. Highlight your most current jobs or most popular jobs with an RSS feed and sidebars of your site or at the bottom of pages. But look for every opportunity you can, every piece of candidate-facing content, mm-hmm. and add a strong call to action to either apply or go and search jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a great formula for turning that increased traffic into increased applications.
Yeah. While we're on the subject of websites, a question comes in from John. What are the three most important areas we need to focus on for a successful SEO program?
Oh, SEO, near and dear to my heart here. It's a question we get a lot. So, you know, what's the secret formula to search engine optimization, SEO? And, you know, there's no secret formula. There's no three things that you can do today and immediately start ranking tomorrow. So one of the keys is going to be content. We hear this a lot. It's overused, but content is king. Okay. We've been saying that for years. All the top SEO experts have been saying that for years, and nothing's really changed since the dawn of SEO. It's really been about good quality content. So if you write good quality content in the form of job posts, in the form of page content, in the form of articles, blogs, infographics, things like that, multimedia, over time, you're going to have a better opportunity to rank well in search and drive more SEO traffic. So number one, content. Mm. The next thing that you need to look at are inbound links. So in the past, inbound links were really important to have a lot of inbound links. So it was really quantity over quality. And what happened is a lot of websites out there, a lot of companies began selling links to these junk link directories. Right. And Google and everyone caught on. And they realized that, hey, quantity of links isn't as important as quality of links. Mm. So we want to get as many inbound links back to our site from high-quality websites as possible. So websites out there that have been around for a long time, that are highly respected, that are highly visited, that have high page rank. If we can begin earning more and more of those links, over time, we're going to increase our own site's relevancy and improve our search results. Hmm. So, you know, some of my favorite strategies for inbound links, it ties back to our first key in SEO, which is content. Yeah. If you write good quality content that people want to consume, more people will link to it. Mm. So that can come in the form of salary data, sample job descriptions, career tips and best practices, management tips and best practices, list articles, and it can go on and on and on. But if you write good content, more people will want to link to you.
Will, when you say link to, does social media fall under that category? Will Google take a look at how many people have, you know, linked to your blog from Twitter or something like that?
Yeah, great question. So Google and Bing and Yahoo say that getting more traffic from social isn't a direct ranking factor, okay? But it is. they're not going to come out and tell you that. But the truth of the matter that it is. If more people are consuming your content on Facebook, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, you're going to get more traffic back to your website. People are going to stay on your website longer. People are going to share that content. You're going to get in front of more new people. People are going to begin reposting that content. And those are all ranking signals. So while, you know, getting a like on a Facebook post may not directly improve your SEO results, if you're doing all these things consistently and you're sharing your content in the right places and getting more and more traffic and you're increasing time on site and getting more new visitors to your site, increasing things like dwell time on your site, you're going to over time improve search rank. Mm-hmm. So there is a strong social correlation there. Mm-hmm. It's not direct, but over time, if you continue to do these things, you're going to improve in search results. Mm-hmm. And then I think they asked for three.
Yeah.
The question said three. Three. So this one's a little tricky. So historically with search engine optimization, really it's two big factors. It's content and it's inbound links.
Yeah.
Those are broad topics, right? But those are the two keys. Now, specifically in the staffing and recruiting industry, for most of our listeners on the podcast here, you're looking at getting your jobs in front of more people. Mm. And there's a whole separate strategy for getting jobs listed. And thanks to Google for Jobs, we've had to react pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So one of the keys for SEO is again, getting those jobs indexed. And you need to make sure that your job board and your website has what they call schema markup. Mm. Okay, so I don't want to get too technical and bore everybody on today's call. You can go to our website for a little bit more information on that. But basically what schema markup does is that it makes it easier for Google to index your jobs. And if you want to show up in Google for Jobs, you have to have that schema markup on your site. So you need to tell Google where the job title is and map that job title field, where salary is and map that salary field and location and description. And you have to go through all of these different schema markup variables and map your data to how Google needs that data. Our job board does it. Some of the other systems do it, and many don't. And if you want to rank well and you want to get that traffic, and everyone on this podcast does, I know that for sure.
Sure.
You need to make sure that your job board has schema markup and it's Google for Jobs friendly and do a little bit of research there. So again, boils down to content, add more great quality content, get more inbound links from high quality websites, and make sure that your jobs are properly formatted so that they can be indexed and pulled into Google for Jobs.
All right, we'll jump over from job boards and websites to social media, another area of your expertise. We'll combine these two questions into one here. When is the best time to publish a blog post, and when is the best time to post on social media?
Now.
Yes, if you haven't been doing it, do it now.
No, really though, when is the best time to publish your blog post? I think it's really now. And publishing content consistently and doing it often are keys. Mm-hmm. And I think all too often we get caught up in this analysis paralysis where we spend so much time trying to make a blog post perfect that we don't do it consistently. We hold things up and it's a few weeks between posts. Mm-hmm. And that's not really a recipe for success.
Right.
In order for online marketing and blogging and to really get the optimal search engine optimization value, we need to do it consistently. We need to shoot for at least once a week. If we can do twice a week, great. If we can do more than that, even better. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't get too caught up in time of day that you're publishing, that type of thing, especially in the staffing and recruiting space.
Right.
A little bit different in other industries, other verticals, sure. But I would do it as quickly and as soon as you can. Mm. Now, on the social media side, slightly different, and it's really going to depend on the platform and your audience. Now, are you going to get completely different results if you post at 8 o'clock in the morning compared to 9:15 in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
No. But you do want to look at things like time of day that your audience is actively involved on social. So for example, on Facebook, we'll take a look at when our audience logs in most frequently. Mm. What time of day are they typically on? What time of day do we get the most engagement? Things like that. So there are some telling signals. And sometimes you'll be surprised. For example, on Facebook, oftentimes one of the best times of day to post is like 9 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And sure. I don't know about you, but when I'm at home on my couch at 9 o'clock at night or putting my kids to bed at 9 o'clock at night, I'm not necessarily thinking about posting to my company's Facebook page. So at that point, what you really want to do is look at scheduling tools.
Yeah.
We use a tool called Buffer, B-U-F-F-E-R, to help schedule that and make sure that we're posting at optimal times. Now, again, is it going to have a huge dramatic difference between posting at 4 in the afternoon compared to 8? Probably not, but test it out.
Sure.
And you probably hear this repeatedly today. One of the keys to marketing is testing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to look at data. We want to look at what's happening. We want to look at what time of days get more engagement and what don't, and see what we can learn over time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not one set time of day that's going to rule for every type of company out there or every platform, but it's testing things out. And it's using the built-in social tools and signals to help limit the number of tests that we have to do.
I wanted to ask you one quick question, too, about the blog post you mentioned about finding out when your audience is online. What are the tools you can use to find out that information?
Yeah, sure. So each of the social platforms has some analytics built into it. So Twitter is analytics.twitter.com. You log into your account. You can see detailed information about your followers. You can do the same on the other platforms. Mm-hmm. Facebook is great to give you an idea for time of day, what your audience and following is interested in. So I think those, I would use the built-in analytics platforms within the different social sites to really identify some trends that you can take advantage of.
Question here from Dave. Is there one social media platform that works for staffing firms more than others? Where should we be focusing our social media efforts right now?
It depends. And it really depends on your target market. So I'll give you a good example. We work with a lot of healthcare staffing clients. Okay. And on the candidate side, what we find is in the healthcare space, especially nurses, therapists, physicians, often they're not as active on a social site like LinkedIn as other job titles.
Sure.
You know, those that are in offices, that are maybe in accounting, finance, professional services, those type, they're much more active on LinkedIn.
Right.
So in those cases, LinkedIn makes sense. In the medical side, Facebook makes sense. Because they're much more active there. Right. Now, when they're active on Facebook, oftentimes it's not tied to work. It's tied to personal and whatnot. But that gives you a great opportunity to get in front of them. So, again, it's tough to say what platform is best for staffing and recruiting companies because it really depends on industry vertical. Oftentimes, in light industrial, we're seeing good success on Twitter. We're seeing good success on Facebook. For professional, we're seeing good success on LinkedIn. When we're looking at business development, so getting in front of hiring decision makers, we're having some great success on LinkedIn. So looking at being active in LinkedIn groups like SHRM groups, local HR decision maker groups, thought leader groups in local markets or industries, and getting active there. Lately, we've been testing out a lot with Facebook groups. So Facebook groups are a great way to get in front of passive job seekers. So oftentimes there's local networking groups or job search groups on Facebook, and it's a free way to get your opportunities and your brand in front of the right people. So again, I don't want to sidestep the question, what's the best platform, but you need to test it out.
Yeah.
And I can't say that enough. We need to test different platforms. Give it some time. Don't give up on it right away. And see what's right for your market and for your industry. Because it can also vary city by city, not just industry by industry.
Yeah.
Stay on the social media side of things here. This question comes from Debbie. What type of content gets the most engagement? I'm glad Debbie asked this because when I look at a lot of our clients' social media pages, very often you see just jobs listed, and that's it. And that's all it's jobs. Or you see the opposite. You don't see any jobs. You just see, hey, here's our employee of the week, or here's a dog that showed up in our office, you know, the fun side of things. So let me put it out. Yeah. What type of content is getting the most engagement right now?
Yeah. To echo what you just said, when you go to a social media feed and it's just job after job after job, and worse, there are jobs that have nothing to do with my background. It's a great way to lose followers, right? Lose engagement. So I would caution you not to just post job after job after job or have a direct feed from your job board over to your Facebook page.
Yeah.
It's a great way to turn people off. Instead, what you want to do is look at what's been engaging for you in the past. Now, to help speed that process up, what we found is that items like salary data. Okay, so everyone wants to know either if they're being paid what they're worth or if they're paying their people internally appropriately.
Sure.
So that's really hot information. Also, what's happening in your local market? Yeah. So show your company's personality through social media. It's an absolutely wonderful platform to do that. If you have networking events, if you have fundraising events, you're doing something in the community, you're having an internal party, there's a birthday or a work anniversary, celebrate those things.
Right.
Because employees want to work for a company that's fun, that's engaging, that connects with their people. They want to work at a place where they can see themselves. So if you begin to start showing your personality through your social media platforms, you're going to attract the people that you want to attract.
Right. Right.
And it's, I think, a great opportunity to do that. Job fairs are oftentimes good content to share. So many firms have weekly open houses or monthly open houses. Share that content. I would go back through, too, and look at the analytic platforms within each social profile. It will tell you what posts in the past have gotten the most engagement, which ones are the most popular, which ones get likes, which ones get shares. Look at that data over time. Look back at the past year and figure out what works and what doesn't. Another trick that I love is within Facebook,
you can look at other competitors.
Mm.
So there's a section called Pages to Watch. Mm. You can list your top five competitors in your market, and you can see what their most popular posts are. Do that more consistently. See what your competitors are doing. Not that you want to copy that, but see what's getting the most engagement and see what you can do to learn from that.
Mm.
So I think those are all things that that you want to do. Now, the other thing is you need to share content consistently.
Yeah.
So if you're not sharing consistently and there's large gaps in when you're posting and you don't post for a week or two, you're going to lose interest. You're going to lose followers. On the flip side, you also can't post too frequently.
Right.
So Facebook specifically has an interesting algorithm. So they don't show your content that you post to your entire audience.
Right.
They kind of leak it out.
Mm.
And if they find that you're posting a piece of content that got some likes and shares and comments immediately, they're going to start showing that to more and more people that follow you.
Mm.
So you need to post good, engaging content that gets likes, comments, and shares.
Yep.
Or you need to get your internal team to start liking, commenting, and sharing.
I was just going to say, there's a sneaky way to do this.
There sure is. Yep. Get your internal team to like, comment, and share, and that by default is going to dramatically increase your reach.
Yeah.
So instead of reaching 2% of your Facebook fans with a few likes, comments, and shares, you'll reach 10.
Mm.
And then a few more, you'll reach 20, and it'll grow from there.
Yeah.
So you want to share good, engaging content. You want to see what people have engaged with in the past. And then you want to capitalize on ways to boost that sharing and those comments and those engagement internally.
Right. Next question, and I guess I'll handle this one because this is kind of in my wheelhouse about email marketing, comes from Kevin. I wanted to know about the ROI of email campaigns. What should we be looking for when we send out, for instance, a hot jobs mailing or a top candidate mailing via email? There's kind of two answers here. The two biggest metrics that we track in email marketing is opens and clicks. So how many people are opening the email that you sent them? How many people are clicking on the content? Now, if you're, you know, if you're doing an email campaign where you just want to stay top of mind and you want to send out, say, a monthly newsletter, you're probably a little more concerned with opens. You know, how many people are opening up the email and seeing your brand, seeing your name, seeing your logo? If you're doing a top candidates mailing or a hot jobs mailing, which I suggest everybody do on a regular basis, then you're more concerned with clicks. And the reason why is when you do, say, a top candidate mailing, you want to send out, you know, five of your most placeable candidates that you have available right now. Usually we suggest doing, you know, about a paragraph each. What makes this person stand out? What's their work experience like? There's two ways to set it up. You can have all that information right in the email, or you can put it on a landing page. When we do them for our Hail Email clients, which is our email and content marketing program, we put it on a separate landing page. The reason there is you can then track the clicks. So you can go into your mailing report after it goes out and see who clicked on the available candidates. Now you may see, you know, Joe Smith listed there and say, oh, well, you know, Joe didn't really contact us about any of these people. Well, maybe Joe's looking and maybe just one of the five people that you sent him wasn't a perfect fit for him. But you know, if he clicked to see the available candidates, Joe's probably looking to hire. So those are really great people to follow up with. So not only are you going to get direct responses from people to those candidates or to those jobs, even if you do a hot jobs mailing, but you're going to know who's interested in hiring right now. So it's kind of a win-win there. So even if you don't hear from them, you know that these people are interested. So those are the two things that I always like to focus on with a top candidate or a hot jobs mailing. And again, I can't stress it enough. You should be doing those types of mailings on a regular basis. Newsletters are great. They keep you top of mind. But to get a direct response from an email campaign, you do want to mix in those hot job mailings and top candidate mailings. So thank you for that one, Kevin. I get to answer a question there.
Todd, I love that question too. And in email marketing, honestly, is probably the most cost-effective way.
Absolutely.
To reach a large audience. How else could you reach 5,000 people within the push of a button?
Right.
it's amazing. Yep. And it's really a numbers game, right? So the more people that you continually add to your email newsletter list, the more people you're going to get a response from. Even if your click-through rate hovers at the same percentage, if you keep adding more and more people into that database, you're going to get better results.
Absolutely.
And then the other thing is, and you use this all the time, you can see from click reports exactly who clicked on a candidate, right?
Yep. If you're using a good email marketing system like our own Haley Mail, yes, they will give you that information. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brad. That was $20 well spent. I paid Brad $20 to promote my product. All right. Let's get back to you now. Let's see. Back to a website question here from Diane. When looking at Google Analytics, which we talked a little bit about earlier, what are the most important metrics you should be looking at? I know it can be, I know when I go into Google Analytics, sometimes it can be very overwhelming. There's a lot of really good information in there. So kind of break it down for us, Brad. What are the key things that we should be looking at when we go into our report?
Yeah, sure. So we'll look at kind of we'll talk about top level metrics, and then we'll drill down a little bit. So overall, when you log into Google Analytics, you're going to see at the top level traffic. Right. So how many people have visited your site? How long have they spent on your site? And that's helpful, but you need to put that in context. Mm. So just looking at the past 30 days will give you an idea, but how did that compare to the last 30 days?
Right.
And how did it compare to the same time period last year? Hmm. So I like to look at those comparisons. And in the top right corner of Google Analytics, there's a little drop down for date. You can set your date range, but then you can also compare it to the previous date range or last year's date range. And I like to do both. Hmm. So I like to look month over month and see how we're doing in the short term. So did we get more traffic than we did last month? Pretty basic stat.
Right.
But it can be misleading sometimes because in the staffing and recruiting industry, and especially in key segments within staffing and recruiting, business can be cyclical. It can be seasonal. It can go up and down. So you might see a huge increase or decrease in traffic based on season. Right. So what I like to do is not only look at the previous time period, but year over year. Mm-hmm. So let's see how we've done historically this year compared to last. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see peaks and valleys and things like that. But over time, we want to see a consistent increase in traffic. Mm-hmm. I also like to look at source of traffic. So where is that traffic coming from? Are we getting traffic direct? So are people going and typing in right in their internet browser, xyzstaffing.com?
Yeah.
If they are, great. We're doing a good job in branding in the local market. We're well known by name and people are coming to us. We want to look at search engine traffic. So are we getting traffic from Google, Bing, and Yahoo? We want to look at those trends. So if we're not seeing an increase in overall search engine traffic, we need to look at what we need to do to better optimize our site. So what can we do to get more search traffic? It's adding content. It's updating our jobs. It's making sure we have schema market. It's all those things that we mentioned earlier in the podcast. We want to look at new versus returning users. And this is important for a few reasons. Number one, we always want to get in front of more new people. So if we find that we're not getting new traffic, we need to actively solicit that traffic. That could be through search engine optimization. That could be through email marketing. That could be through paid ads. That could be through social. What can we do to get our brand, our name in front of more people, our links in front of more people, and drive more traffic back to our site? But on the flip side, we also want to get people that have been to our site in the past back there.
Right.
And this becomes really, really important for candidates. A year or two ago, we looked at all of our staffing websites. We have traffic data on like 500 or 600 staffing and recruiting websites now, might even be more. And we looked for correlation factors and conversion factors and went through things with a fine-tooth comb. And what we found is that candidates who came back to a website were 2 times more likely to apply for a position than first-time visitors.
Wow.
So if you think about this, think about your recruitment dollars. Again, you're spending tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in some cases on recruitment advertising. They get to your site the first time, they don't fill out an application to a job, and then they're gone. you need to get them back to your site repeated times. So if you find that your percentage of return traffic is low, you need to look at things like a remarketing campaign.
Yep.
So if you've ever gone to Amazon and looked at a product, right?
Yep.
Especially after Prime Day, you see that product continue to pop up for you all over the internet. Mm-hmm. You need to do the same for your jobs. You need to do the same for your employment services, for your company, for your brand. Mm-hmm. And a remarketing campaign can help you easily do this. So somebody visits your site, we start showing your brand and your ad and your job opportunities to them on social and throughout Google's ad platform. Mm-hmm. So look at that type of traffic. Then you want to look at traffic flow. So are you getting people from the homepage to what we call key conversion pages?
Mm-hmm.
The candidate side, a key conversion page is the application.
Right.
It's the end all be all. We need more applications from qualified candidates. If they're not making it there, we need to go back through that path and find out where they dropped off.
Mm. And with Google Analytics, there's an actual tool in there where you can set up essentially these types of reports, right? Where you can say, hey, how many people went from our homepage to our application page? Or
You've got it. There's a funnel visualization. So you can see graphically what's happening and where the drop off is occurring. You can set up very specific goals, and that's getting a little bit more advanced, you can Google just about anything and get a tutorial on it. But you can look at these goals, and your goal is to get people from the homepage to the job board to the application. And you set up that path as a goal and see how you're performing. Likewise, on the employer side, what do you want employers to do? You want them to contact you or fill out a request an employee form. So look at those pages. And are you getting traffic there? If not, backtrack. If you are getting traffic there and it's not converting, simplify your forms, update calls to action, things like that.
Yeah.
And tied to that, I would look at a statistic called exit rate or exit pages.
Mm.
And that's really important because that is going to tell you where on your site people are leaving.
Okay.
If you find that one of your pages has a really extremely high exit rate and it's not like a contact us page,
right,
where people are getting your phone number and then leaving, you need to fix that page. You need to update the copy. You need to evaluate calls to action. You need to determine if the content on that page is fitting and then adjust your site. I'd also look at referral sources. So what other websites out there are driving traffic to you?
Right.
And this becomes really helpful, especially for recruitment marketing. So you can see what job boards are actually driving traffic over to your site and if that traffic's converting or not.
Yeah.
So that can help you use your recruitment spend more effectively.
That's a great point, because we get a lot of clients who will say, you know, I'm spending X amount of dollars with, you know, this, you know, job aggregator. And you say, okay, well, how well is it working for you? Well, I don't know.
Right.
Well, that's important to know when you're spending thousands and thousands of dollars on some of these job aggregator sites. It's important to know how many, you know, links or clicks they're bringing back to your website.
Yeah, and not even how many clicks. So clicks, great. You're getting people there.
Yeah.
Is that flowing down through to application?
Right.
And if you have a thank you page on your application, we can look at the original source of traffic on that thank you page, track that back to a source.
Right.
So just getting more strategic in how you look at, track, and analyze data can help you in a lot of different segments of your business.
Yeah. All right, that'll do it for part one of our special Q&A edition of Secrets of Staffing Success with Brad Smith. Be sure to tune in to part two coming up in 2 weeks. Until then, you can always check us out on Twitter @staffingpodcast, also haleymarketing.com, and be sure to subscribe to us on all of the usual places where you can get a podcast, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, all those great places. We will talk to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.